Amen. I can say from my heart, amen. He's all I need. Preacher, don't you need this or that? My flesh says I do. But this morning, all I really need is the Lord. And I want you to be honest this morning. All you really need is the Lord. And we have so little of Him today. Why, preacher? It's not God's fault. God's not moved. God's not changed. You can have as much of God as you want. And it's so sad that we've lost that intimacy with the Lord in our day. And it's not everywhere that way. I want you to be honest with you now. Some of you travel more than I do, I know. Some of you have seen a lot of things that I've never seen. But I know in our day, in our little neck of the woods, this is our little pea patch that God's put us in. In our area, not many people, I mean, you're here, and I'm glad, and I'm speaking for me. Do I really love the Lord like I should, or do I just take Him for granted? Now, I know in the physical sense, I love my wife, I do, but you know, I take her for granted a lot. Been married almost 26 years. Take her for granted. I still love her, but I sure take her for granted. I'm with the Lord this morning, and I'm glad that God is merciful, glad that God is long-suffering. I'm glad God is not moving on accordance of me. He's just that faithful. And listen, in our day, I know we're fighting everything we can. I mean, there's evil on every side, and we ought to fight a good fight. But if we don't get people to really see the need of the Lord, we're fighting a losing battle. The Lord is where we need to start this thing. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our refuge. The battle's His. And and that's one of the reasons this morning, again, we just want to encourage you. Would you let God help you to see some things this morning in your life? Not your neighbors. Don't, you know, what about you? Can you just let God speak to you this morning? And again, we're coming off our missions revival. God is blessed. And we, as a church, support right at 40 missionaries now, and we have lost. We were supporting around 44, but we have lost in the last 6 months, probably 5 missionaries. We've lost, over the years since I've been here, we've lost some just because of sin in their lives, and we just had to do some things there. But most of these are folks that just because of things like I'm getting ready to read you, that they're having to come off the field. And what I'm saying, though, but the work's still there. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are very few. And so that's the reason we try to lift up missions, because I believe with all my heart, if we want to see God bless our church, and I hope you do, boy, God has been blessing. Look, boy, this is God's blessing. But if you want to see God bless our church, or if you want to see God bless your home or your individual life, I promise you one of the areas to get a hold of is the acts of missions. I was thinking about this. When you hear that word missions here at Gospel Light, most of the time you think about, well, our foreign missionaries, our missionaries that we support here locally and globally. But the thought of missionaries is there's a key word in the thought of missionary, and that word is what? Mission. What's your mission? How many military guys we got again? I know we got several. Appreciate all that y'all have done. But you were given a mission. You had an objective. Is that not what missions areas are? Is that not the reason the church should have missions? Because God has given us an objective, a place, something. You take Normandy. You think of the great loss of life that day. When those men hit the beach, when the waters run red, but those men were given a mission, and in the eyes of most people, they say, oh, that'll never happen. But it took men that were willing to say, okay, I believe in what we're doing, to the place that I'm not going to think about myself. I'm going to get off this boat and probably not get back on one. I'll die right here on the battlefield. And many of them did. But their life was not in vain. Their gift, their mission was not in vain. Why? Because there was victory. So I'm saying this morning, God has given you and I and the church a mission to do. And we can sit here and say, well, preacher, there's 7-point-some billion people in the world today. There's no way we'll ever reach Rowan County. Well, with that attitude, I can promise you, you'll never reach nobody. Yeah. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do it one step, one soul at a time. But if I look at one and you get one and the neighbor gets one, it grows quick, doesn't it? And then you take the one that you get and you teach it how to go back and get another one. Now there's two of you out there. And then those two catch two and you bring them back and you teach those two how to get one. And then you got four out there getting them. See? That's how our mission is supposed to work. Now I'm not saying it is working that way, but that's the way it's supposed to work. Take your Bible to the book of Jude. What chapter? You'll figure it out when you get there. Look at Jude. Book of Jude. Find the book of Revelations, back up one. Book of Jude. In verse number 22. Let's stand. Let's stretch your legs one more time. And out of honor and reverence, have the word of God mainly. If you can stand this morning, we invite you to stand. Jude, verse number 22, this is what the Lord says. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. This morning, are we making a difference? Now, we talk about problems. Sometimes we are the problem. But are we making a difference? We as a church, in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man, man builds big things. Old Smiley out there, he's got bazillions of people following him. But I don't know if we're making a difference. I don't believe so. But are we making a difference? Let's go a little further. Am I making a difference? Is my life really... You know, Brother Russell, what's that song we sing? I Got Something to Live For. I don't know what the title of that song is or how it goes. Something Worth Living For. Is your life purposeful? Do you have a purpose in life? Well, in the eyes of flesh, you're probably thinking, well, I'm a mama, and thank God for mamas. I like mamas. Getting ready to have Mama's Day for long. I'm a daddy. Thank God for daddies. I'm this or I'm that. I have this job. I have this title. But is that all that God's called you to be? Is that really? And I hope, Mama, you're making a difference in your home. Daddies, I hope you're making a difference in your home. But tonight, or this morning, church, are we as a church making a difference? Are we individually making a difference? And if the answer is no, there's a problem, right? What does that verse say? And some have compassion. If all you're about is yourself, you're not making much of a difference. Oh, how I love me. I know a lot of people love themselves. I'm sort of the opposite of that. I don't like me very much. I know me. But if I have compassion, I'll make a difference. Some having compassion, making a difference. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you again, Lord, for how you've put things together this morning. God, I do pray once again for these families that are hurting. Lord, but right now, as we've opened up this great book, God, as you are meeting with us this morning, God, and Lord, I hope it's just not now. I hope in days ahead, God, you just continue to stir. Lord, help us to see a world that needs a difference made in it. Lord, I sure am thankful how you made a difference in my life. And Lord, how I've seen you make a difference in other people's lives. And Lord, I pray this morning if there'd be somebody here this morning that's lost. God, I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to their hearts and let them see what difference you'll make in their lives. I just ask you once again, Lord, most of all, for you to be glorified. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do here this morning, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, we're talking about missions. We're talking about making a difference. Here we are on this Sunday, and in your bulletin there is a piece of paper that talks about what would you pray and give towards missions. And it's beyond our tithe. And like I've said before, I don't preach tithing. I preach giving. Tithing is something, you know, if all I say, well, I owe God 10%, well, you probably give a lot of times your waiter or waitress more than 10%. So God just gets 10? No, God gets it all. But it takes money. And again, I'm not here, again, if you're visiting, don't think preacher preaches his own money every time, because I don't. I rarely do. But it takes money for your home to run. You have power bills. You have water bills. You have insurance bills. You have all those bills. Well, guess what? The local church does too. It takes money. And that's where it takes people giving to see, because we love our church and we believe in what God's doing here, and we want to see it, the furtherance of the gospel continue to grow out of this place, and it takes giving. But then we walk by that board back there on the other side of Brother Bill, on the other side of that wall, and we see a picture of a great big world that contains over 7 billion souls that need to hear what I heard. Why? Because what I heard made a difference in my life and continues to make a difference. And I want them to see what God can do in their lives. And to do that, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to tell them. And I can't go. But God is calling people to go. Not just to Africa, not just to Greenland or Iceland or Iraq, across the road, into the prisons, as Brother Rick and Miss Judy goes. But it takes people seeing that it makes a difference in their lives, that they want somebody else to get a difference in their life and have what we've got. And I'm willing to invest in that, because I know what God can and will do. I mentioned this missionary earlier, and I went back and found my letter, and I read this just to give you an idea of what missions is about. It says, "Dear co-laborers," and that's what we are, "in Christ." This is from the Kinseys out of South Africa. It says, "In these dark but trying days in South Africa, but also in Rowan County, in these dark but trying days, God has not only plainly given us His instructions, but has with them given us His loving and blessed promise. Listen to this, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee?" See, God has given us commandment. "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." Preacher, what about this HB2 bill? Well, the blue men ain't coming. Who cares? You know what I think we ought to do? I think all these outfits that say, "Well, we're not coming to North Carolina," get on your email, email them, say, "We're glad." "But preacher, I like the blue men." "Well, let me choke you around your neck, you'll be blue." I wouldn't do that. Maybe. Tony's my hitsman. He might do it. No, but I'm saying, listen, would you not rather be right with God than man? Is it that real to us? Hey, listen, Mom and Daddy, you really believe your child needs to be saved? I hope you do, because they do. Grandmas, what about you? Grandpas? Here's Brother Kinsman again. He says, "I write this letter with mixed feelings." I can't imagine. "One part of me desires to continue our work in Africa. Another part of me knows that the natural environment of the country and my health will not let me physically do so. Since we returned to the States in April of this year and praying for our Lord to open doors here where the environment is better for my health, since many of you have supported us with your prayers and finances for nearly 30 years, here's a man that's been on the field for 30 years and his heart breaks because he physically cannot do it anymore. 30 years. Most of us think, I'm going to get my 20 in and I'm quitting, retiring, and kick back on the beach. Here's a man that wants to labor on, but physically can't. Since many of you have supported us with your prayers and finances for nearly 30 years, and we would like to thank you for your support that God has used to do many good and helpful things. To list a few of those things that God has done through your prayers, the word has been preached. Now listen, this man's been on the field for 30 years. God, I meant to look up. I don't know how long we've supported these missionaries, long before I came here. When we came here, we supported missions for $25 a month. We soon went to $50 a month. $25 is $25, don't get me wrong. $50 don't go far, does it? Since many of you supported with your prayers and finances for nearly 30 years, and we would like to thank you for your support that God has used to do many good and helpful things. To list a few of those things that God has done through your prayers, the word has been preached, souls saved, churches planted, tracts and study material translated, pastors train and continue in the training of others, and for a number of years each week wrote a gospel article in the local newspaper. There have been times of joy and sorrow, danger and safety, defeat and victory, that your prayers have been with us. We know that you may never see or taste of these times until you get to heaven, but we would like to thank you personally for being there with us in them in all these times. Thank you for being in our calling of God, that we may be in our calling in South Africa. Our prayer is that God would continue to use your prayers and gifts in all the mission fields around the world. May the Lord send to you all his blessings as he uses you in the preaching of his word in places where you cannot personally go. Now my question is, here's a man that's established much, not through his glory, but through the glory of God. Who's going to take his place? Who will go? His family gave much, and much has been given to us. It made a difference in people's lives in South Africa because a man and his family were willing to go and preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. Why did he do that, preacher? Because he knew what God did in his life. And God burdened him for the folks of that area, and he wanted God to make a difference in their lives. God makes differences in lives. When God moves in, it makes a difference. Has God made a difference in your life? So we're talking about missions this morning, and time has quickly slipped away. But look with me. I'll give you the gist of what I want you to see this morning about what we're trying to get across. Look with me in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17 this morning. I love this chapter. So many great things happen in this one little chapter. We see God do some wonderful things here in Moses' life. We see God do some wonderful things in the nation of Israel's life. After God has blessed and after God has provided, verse number 8 is where we'll begin our reading real quickly this morning. As I preach Wednesday night, I want to encourage you, if you don't come on Wednesday night, we sure would like to encourage you to come. We do our Bible studies. We just looked at Genesis chapter 15, how Abram sacrificed to the Lord, and as soon as he sacrificed, the old buzzards come and try to take away his sacrifice, and he shoot them away. Well, as soon as God has blessed Moses with some encouragement and some assurance, and as soon as God has blessed the nation of Israel with provision, look at verse number 8. What happens? Then came Amalek. Preacher, I'm going to give the missions, and God's laid this amount on my heart. It's going to be a stretch. I'm doing it by faith. And you begin to do that on a weekly or a monthly basis. You begin to offer your means of your abilities of what God, you give your time, you give your talents, you give your possessions unto the Lord. And right off the bat, guess who's going to show up? Amalek. What are you doing? Man, if you took what you gave to the church, and I know what we give, but I don't even think about it, but man, I could have me a brand new Kubota tractor if I didn't give to the church. I could. And God might break my neck on it. Yeah, preacher, but look at that. That's a house payment or that's a car payment. Is that the way you look at it? Them having compassion makes a difference. No, I look at it as souls that are being reached with the gospel. Souls that are being told true. Families that are being helped. Families that are being encouraged. Churches that are being built. Churches that are being established. Preachers that are able to stand and preach. But old Amaleh, he'll come. He'll get you thinking, well, you don't need to do that. Let somebody else do that. Well, let me ask you, if you don't do it, who will? I had a little track. I meant to look it up. This has been one of those days again. But we had a little track when he was up Mount Hebron. It was like if somebody, anybody, nobody type, it went through that little thing. But somebody's got to do it. But if nobody doesn't do it, will anybody do it? See how that runs? Well, guess what? You're a somebody. But I want to tell you, Amaleh will show up. Well, they don't need me. Get out of your pity party. A lot of people get that way. Not in the nursery either. They don't need me. You're right. They don't need you. But God wants you. Preacher was mean to me. Is that all it's going to take? I'm mean to my wife all the time. I'm glad she don't leave. She says, be kind. I said, I am. Kind of mean. Did I not say that? I say it all the time. She says, be kind. I was like, I am. Kind of mean. You know what your problem is? Yourself. Look at that map. Look at the 7 billion souls that need to hear the gospel. Have compassion. Make a difference. Here's a man, 30 years he's given his life in Africa. Now he's got to come off with a heart that breaks. Got the Hearst family. I'd like to kill somebody for them. They're old, 80s. Been on the field, Guam, right? They're looking, the Hendersons are going to take their place. Their health is terrible. The last time they were in, they found a little old place that they could call home when they moved back here. They put all their possessions that they had in a little old building out back. Their son calls them this last week or so, and somebody broke in and stole everything they had. Who came, Amaleh? Then came Amaleh and fought with Israel. Verse 8, in reference, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. Hey! God says, choose me out some people. I'm choosing y'all. Y'all are chosen. You're a chosen generation. God has chosen us and given us the gift of the gospel. And here God says, choose us out men. We need some men. And go out and do what? Fight with Amaleh. Well, you know, preacher, can't we just all get along? Come on in, Amaleh. There's room for all of us. That's what's wrong with us. No, Amaleh, you're out of here. You don't belong. We're going to fight you out. Them buzzards? Okay, buzzards. Come on. It says, fight with Amaleh tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You want a good study? Go study that rod. Good study right there. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Sounds like a pretty good battle, doesn't it? Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. 30 years in South Africa. Brother Kinsman's hands have got weary many times. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write for this a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from the under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisus. And for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Man. Some having compassion, making a difference. And here I see a battle that God did a great work, and it took men and it made a difference. So we want to look just real quickly at that, and again, very quickly. First of all, I see here the fact that God had a plan. And God told the man of God, and the man of God told Joshua, get the men together and go out and fight. So Joshua was doing what he's supposed to do. Moses says, I'm going up on the mountain. He goes up on the mountain, and with him went Aaron and Hur. And Moses goes up there as he's watching the battle, as he's watching the nation of Israel maybe in defeat. He would raise the rod of God. And at that moment, God would intervene, and the nation of Israel would push forward. And as soon as his arms would come down and his hands would grow weary, the nation of Amalek would come against the nation of Israel and push them back. And then Moses would press it back up again, the rod of God. And it just went back and forth and back and forth. And as the days went upon them, or as the day went upon him, Moses, an old man, got weary. So I see this morning, as Moses grows weary in the battle, I will say, first of all, do we see the fact that people need some help? It took more than Moses. It took more than Joshua. It took more than Aaron. It took more than Hur. This morning, if we're going to make a difference, the first thing we must do is see that somebody needs some help. Do you see that? And then the second thing I think about is we see here as Moses' hands grew weary, Aaron and Hur noticed, hey, the preacher's getting tired. Here's a rock. Let's put a rock under him. Oh, his arms are going down. Here, let me help hold your arm. Not only did they see there was something to fight for, but also they saw the man of God in need of assistance. And you and I, we have grown up and we've been taught, and our young people, I ain't helping nobody. But it's not just our young people. That's the mentality of everybody, it seems like. What's in it for me? Not only do we see that there's a call, that there's somebody that it's going to make a difference in, but we must have an attitude that I want to help. Please, my words might be not put together the way they need to this morning, but I really hate people that don't help. Guys over there struggling like crazy, and you're just... Why don't you go over and help them? Well, if I help them, they might sue me. You help somebody? You saw somebody in need? Now listen, we had this conversation. Me and Tony talked about it. I mentioned it last Sunday or last Wednesday night. Listen, I don't promote stopping on the side of the road and helping people. Unless you know them. Nowadays, people kill you. People rob you. And that's got us to the mindset, well, we ain't going to help nobody. That's not what I'm saying this morning. There's bus routes that need help. You're not, well, I ain't going to say you'll not get killed on the bus route. You might. I'd rather die on the battlefield. Amen. There's Sunday school classrooms that need help. There's a vacation Bible school that needs some help. Are you going to help? Or are you going to sit there and say, well, I'd have done it that way? We used to have a saying in the fire department, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We don't need no more chiefs. We got the superior chief. We just engines. We're co-laborers with Christ. So here we see Moses and the nation of Israel. We see a fight. We see as Moses raises his hand how God intervened and how God would work. And then he got weary in the battle and somebody needed to help. And there was Aaron and Hur. Now in this story I see the names of people that we're pretty familiar with. Moses. Everybody's heard of Moses. We see Joshua. Oh yeah, we know Joshua. Aaron, he was the high priest. Yeah, we know him. Who's her? What do you mean, preacher? This is the first time you ever hear this cat. Who's her? I don't know who her was either at this point. But I do see her was willing to help. You know what I think this morning? Nobody might not know your name either. But God can still use you. So I see that there was a place for somebody to be doing and making a difference. Real quickly this morning, just that I've got about five things that I can't preach on, but I'll give them to you. What's it going to take to make a difference? And again, if you don't think there needs to be a difference made, why are you here? I mean, I say that in love. I'm glad you're here. God makes a difference in my life. I just didn't get saved and said, okay, that's enough. No, he's constantly making a difference. And I look around and I see people's homes and I see children and I see our world and I think, oh, somebody needs to make a difference. Who'll do it? First of all, you got to know you have a purpose. And God has given us a purpose. Not only do you have to have a purpose, but I believe you have to have a desire. If you don't care about you and you don't care, listen, mamas, I know. I got a grandbaby. Three grandbabies. The twins are getting old enough that they don't pinch my heart near as much as the little one anymore. But yesterday, you know, I had to pop the little one. That hurts. I don't like popping that little one. But it needed popping. It don't take a whole lot. He's sort of dramatic. But I'm saying, you know, if I don't want a difference in his life, just let him go do what he wants to do. But that ain't gonna help nobody. I'm saying, Mama, stand in there in the gap and make a difference. Love them, make a difference. Daddy, love them, make a difference. Church, let's make a difference. We got to have a purpose. We've got to have a desire. Third of all, there's power. Where's our power come from? Not of ourselves. It comes from the Lord. There's got to be a plan. God says, take the gospel all over the world. How are we going to do it? There's got to be a plan. And then last of all, there's got to be purpose. Do you have a purpose? Again, come here, Caleb. Maybe illustrations is the best way. Come here. I got a bad back, so help me as much as you can. Okay. Hold your hands out like that. Stick that arm straight out. Straight out. Straight. Straight. Straight out. Straight out. Straight out. Hold it. Don't run down. Here, hold that one too. Straight out. Hold it as long as you can. Come on, you can pick Mike up there. Set him down. Don't run off. You can set him down. Now, I'm not picking on Caleb. He's just up front, and I love him. He gets used a lot. Did you see him get weary? Come here, Tony. Come here, Caleb. See him struggle? I used to be dumb in high school. We had this little game. Some of you other guys probably played that game too. We'd have that big old, I don't remember how many pounds, 10, 15 pound sledgehammer. And you grab that sledgehammer at the very end of the handle.
Put your arm out straight and lean that baby, just your wrist, not your arm, and lean that thing down and touch your nose. Preacher, that's dumb. No, it was funny when the guy would drop it and bust his nose. That was funny. All right, so you know what we're doing now, right?
Yeah.
All right, hold that thing out there. Come on, there you go. Hold that one out there. You got it? Hold it up there. You give it out?
Yeah.
Caleb, help him out a little bit. Don't we help him out a little bit? A little easier now, ain't it?
Yeah.
You can do it all day now, couldn't you?
Probably not.
Come here, Brother Calvin. Come here, Brother Calvin. Come here. Brother Rick, come here. Come on. Brother Calvin, if you don't mind, hold up on that bucket a little bit right there. Brother Rick, hold up on that bucket a little bit. Look at there. Is it getting a little lighter? Stand there a little longer now, couldn't you? Feels good, don't it? All right, let back off, fellas. Let off, let off. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, let's help him some more. Let's help him again. All right, thank y'all. Oh. That's all I want you to see. We got 40 missionaries, and I hope we gain the ones that we've lost back. We got work here at the church that's got to be done. Well, preacher, what can I do? What can't you do? Preacher, that's more than I can do. Well, let's pull up somebody beside of you and help a little bit. But how many people would see poor Caleb over here struggling? That's funny. No, let me help you. Some, having compassion, making a difference. Caleb, pretty struggle, wasn't it? Aren't you glad you had some people that loved you that would come and make a difference? I don't know what load you're going to carry in life. Sure am thankful I got some brothers and sisters that come up beside of me and help bear my load. If you back up in those verses there, Moses talking to God about how this is too heavy. Too heavy for God this morning? The one that created the heavens and the earth? Ladies, you got a place. I get on my daughter all the time when you start out a conversation that I can't. How do you know you can't if you don't even try? Give it your best and give the rest of it to the Lord. Some. It's not all. Listen, there's people here this morning. You're going to leave here and never going to give another thought. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all I care about. I'm sorry for you. But I'm going to try to be as much as I can be while I can be. Not for my glory. There's people who do things all around this building that you never know about. They just do it. You know how we can do more? More people doing. I used to hate hoeing tobacco. I don't, do you hoe cotton? I don't know anything about cotton. A lot of y'all know cotton. I don't know anything about cotton. I hate hoeing corn too. Get out there at daybreak, hoe in hand, and a row that you couldn't even see the other end of. And all I could think, it's going to be a long day. See, I was shooting myself in the foot before I even got started. What I'm saying this morning is, Aaron and her stepped up beside the man of God. Sit here and let me help you. And it made a difference. It made a difference to the man of God. It made a big difference in the battle. It made a difference in those men's lives. Are you making a difference? I want to make a difference. Preacher, how can I make a difference?
Missions is a great way to make a difference. We consider giving. Soul winning. We need people to get out there and beat the bush. Will you come with us? Brother Ed and them, they go out every Thursday night. Brother Dave and them's out yesterday. We're going to be out this coming Thursday for Sunday school visitation. Preacher, I don't think I can do that. How do you know? It's not real hard. Let me teach you. Everybody do like this. You can do it. All you do is open your mouth. Preacher, I can't talk. How do you order food? Making a difference. Don't you want to make a difference? Let's stand together. Thank you for being here this morning.